Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Stand with me this morning as we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. But you know this, his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you once again, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd guide and direct us, God, in this message this morning that you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd just challenge each one of us where we're at today, Lord, with your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, if you were to label this passage or these verses this morning, you could write above in your Bible, approved leadership. Approved leadership. You know, there have been, good leadership is essential for a healthy church. Let me say that again. Good leadership is essential for a healthy church. There have been many churches fail to be all that God would have them to be or have suffered setback after setback due to leadership behind the pulpit or leadership chosen from the congregation. I mean, no, it's not always the pastor's problem. Some churches chew up and spit out a pastor every 2 years because of a dictative leadership found in the congregation. Some pastors have to leave churches every 2 years for their lack of leadership skills. Oftentimes, people are put into leadership positions in order to fill a vacancy, having no leadership skills or even the potential of being a leader. And then others are put into leadership positions because they have potential, yet are lacking in leadership skills and character. And some are installed into leadership positions because of their talent, yet their character disqualifies them later on. All these have proven to be havoc on the local church. When you look and see what has happened into the local church, and I think sometimes we need to be honest and look around, and all this type of leadership has been havoc on the local church. Paul gives us insight when it comes to choosing or appointing leaders in the church that can help us avoid or even correct issues when it comes to church leaders. How many believe the Bible is good for admonishing, for teaching, for correcting, and also the Bible is good for giving us direction and things, even such as leadership in the church? So we're going to look at that this morning for a few minutes in our series called Room to Grow with, as we preach through Philippians. The first thing I want to point out this morning, and by the way, in the passage of Scripture, Paul is sincerely concerned about the church. He says, "I'm going to send Timothy. I want to see what the state of the church is." He says, "I want to see how you're doing. What's going on? What's happening in the church?" And then Paul says, "I'll even come later when I get all my stuff took care of." He says, "I'll go and I look forward to being there." But in the meantime, he wants to send this guy called Timothy, this young man named Timothy. And so he's wanting to send Timothy, but he doesn't just send Timothy and say, "Hey, show up." I can remember way back when I first started pastoring over Stinnett, Billy Nickel, he'd asked me, I wanted to preach somewhere, and he said, "Well, I can let you preach over Stinnett." And I was scheduled to preach on a Sunday night service, and this guy comes walking in the door, and I said, "Hi, how are you?" And he says, and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm here to preach tonight." And I go, you are? And he says, yeah, I'm going to preach at this church tonight. And I said, I don't think so. I'm supposed to preach tonight. So we're in the foyer butting heads. And I said, if you want to stay, you can listen, but I'm preaching in a loving way. But see, I was already sent. I was sent, and the people at the church knew I was preaching. I was had something to tell them that I was going to be the man. This guy, literally, after doing some research, he just decided he would come. They didn't have a pastor. He was going to be their pastor. No credentials for it, nothing like that. So I'm saying today, Paul didn't just send Timothy. See, there is order in a church, and there's order in leadership. And Paul didn't just send him, hey, go over there. I want you to check on that church at Philippi. Paul sent him with some credentials. And so I think sometimes we skip that if we're not careful. So the first thing that we find in this scripture, I just got three things I want to speak with you about this morning. The first thing is church leaders have been mentored. When we talk about leaders in the church, we understand that they have been mentored. Philippians 2:22 says, but you have known his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. As a son with his father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now listen to those words, because they speak to us, they speak a volume about where Timothy has been in a relationship between Timothy and Paul. Charles A. Tinwell says this in his book titled The Church Administration, Effective Leadership for Ministry, says this. Leaders, listen to what he says. He says, leaders make the difference, and training makes the difference in leaders. Let me read that again. Leaders make the difference, and training makes the difference in leaders. All leaders are born, but they are not all born leaders. When we talk about leadership, Paul himself was a trained leader. Paul was a trained leader. He wasn't someone out there just doing things on his own. Besides the upbringing that he has as a Jewish scholar, a Jewish Pharisee, and all this that he had all this. If you go back and study Paul's history, he was well rehearsed in the Old Testament. He knew all these things. He had been through school after school, sat under teachers. He had all this in his background. But after being converted, he spent at least around a little bit of time after he was let down the wall on Damascus, or Damascus let down the wall because people were after him because he was preaching. But he spent 3 years in Arabia. It says that. And he himself says that he was taught through the revelation of Christ. Christ took Paul to school for 3 years before he let him go out and do what God was calling him to do. He was trained himself by the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. And there is speculation of how his training came about. He even writes in the third person how he knew a guy that was lifted up into heaven. You know, what a classroom. You know, out-of-body experience. There's speculation of where Paul got his revelation and speculation where teaching was going. But there's no doubt that he hadn't been trained, because you could lead and read some of the things that he would preach. We knew that he had had a school with the Lord. You know, many decades back, it used to be that if you were called to pastor, many decades back, they would just lay hands on you and send you about your way. And that did not turn out well for a lot of folks in a lot of churches. Now in the AG, there are steps one must take in order to get credentials. And I know it's a long process, but the reason they had the process of it, of getting your certified and getting your license and getting ordained, is that you go through these steps of training and learn the Word of God so that you'll know how to be a pastor. Now, they don't teach you all the pastoral skills. They're lacking in some things. But the whole ideal is that you will be trained as a pastor. I was reading on Craigslist the other day, and it says minister for hire. And they were talking about how many funerals they have done and how many weddings. And I thought, okay. And then I emailed, this me, I messaged them back. I said, so who are you tied with? What is your denomination? Where did you get your minister's license? I know they probably got it for $39.95 on the internet and downloaded it to marry some friend. But let me tell you, that is not ordained and that is not a minister when it comes to the things of God. Because God expects us to know what's in this. Some of those are the least favorite things a pastor likes to do. He never replied back who it was. But the reason for the training is because leaders need to be trained. Paul was trained before he went out. Leaders need to know. Also, Paul trained leaders. The word mentoring literally means to train somebody. It literally means to teach them the skills or teach them in those areas. Paul, using the term as a son with a father, implies this very thing. In the culture that this is written in, it was expected for the father to train the son on how to go about life. He was to teach him the things of life. It wasn't just how to work, but it was to teach him about relationships. It was to teach him about God. It was to teach him how to treat a woman. It was to teach that boy how to be respectful to other people. It was a training process in that culture. It wasn't none of this, well, I'll do what I want. No, you did what Dad said. If you want to read Proverbs, I know if you read it in the New King James, it's more, you'll find it's written more for young men. And you'll find such terms in Proverbs that says something like this, my son, hear the instructions of your father. Hear the instructions of your father. It talks about training them up. The Bible, it says even Proverbs, train them up in the way they shall go. It talks about giving them instructions and things. You know, that's what I said. I'm not even going to go there. Okay. It's important that dads train their kids. Amen? You have an inlet there. I think it's a wonderful thing. But what Paul was expressing by that, he's not necessarily, I mean, this is not a Father's Day sermon here. He was expressing the ideal of how a father trains his son. And he was expressing this, one spiritual leader that has been trained to train another spiritual leader is what he's talking about, to bring him in. He says, Timothy has been with me as a father and son in the ministry. I have trained him in what to do. Important. Paul says he's trained Timothy in the service of the gospel, hands-on. Can I tell you, guys learn things hands-on. He trained him in things. Listen, Timothy was with Paul in Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Ephesus, and even when he was in prison in Rome, Timothy was with Paul. What's he doing? He is Paul's study. He's studying Paul. He's almost like Joshua was with Moses. You read that story. Guess who stuck next door to Moses all the time? Joshua was right there. It wasn't by coincidence that God said, hey, Joshua, you're going to take Moses' spot. What had happened? There had been some mentoring going on between Moses and Joshua. There had been some training up the next generation or training up the next minister. Oh, my friend today, if we look in the passage, we find that training was essential to what God wanted to do with the next generation and also to do with somebody that was called. Training. Timothy was involved in one way or another with the seven of Paul's writings. He was involved in Romans, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He was there watching Paul write. He was closely connected to Paul in ministering to the churches. in all the churches that Paul went through, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Philippi, he was there along Paul's side, is what he's speaking to. In other words, he taught him the ways of the church and how to be a leader. You know, I think back in my life, I thank God for when I was a young man. I mean, I guess that would be preteens. Okay. When I was little, I had T.J. Taylor. I'd watch him preach, but I watched him, and he would try to teach me how to be. At about age 7 or 8 years old, I bought a Dake's Bible, King James Version. The Bible was almost bigger than I was. But who was training me? T.J. Taylor was. And then later came Ray Cook, which I came back to the Lord in his ministry, and he started to train me. He'd test me in scripture, and he said, what do you think about this? What was he doing? He was mentoring me because he knew I felt the call of ministry in my life. Next one was Brother Greaser. Now, Brother Greaser was the roughest one on me, but I loved that brother. I loved him. He had me doing all kinds of things in the church. He had me do children's church. He had us do the youth group. I had to do the Sunday school superintendent. I was my first class. Well, Brother Cook got me into that, the adult class, teaching like you teach, Sister Luke. I'm just saying, I thank God for people like that in my life. And it wasn't like I went off to college. I'm getting hands-on training in church. Paul was saying he had mentored as a father to a son. He had mentored Timothy. My friend, I would like to... That's important for us to understand that training is essential for a person when it comes to ministry and church leaders. So I never forget the time, and I've told you this more than once, when Brother Greaser looked at me. I was working 55 plus 60 hours a week at my regular job, and then I was being his associate for $37 a month. And that's what he paid me to preach one night a month. And I came to him and said, Brother Greaser, I'm just tired. He said, what do you mean? You're not teachable? You're talking about the flesh stirring up. Then God got a hold of me later. But I thank God for that now. I thank God for the way he poured into my life. Mentoring. And so what we find in this, it is important that people get put in positions that they have been mentored. They've been taught how to lead. Because it will help. See, one injustice that we do the church body is not to take time to train leaders. Can I tell you something? I know it takes time to make disciples. I know it takes time to make leaders. But if you don't take the time to make disciples, then you have nothing but little babies all their Christian life. And if you don't take time to train leaders, then we have problem after problem after problem after problem. Because the Bible shows us that we need to train. And it takes time to do that. Listen, the older I get and the longer I'm in ministry, I realize this truth. I really do. No matter the size of the church, we must be all leaders must be trained. No matter the size. All leaders need training. Pastors, associate pastors, worship leaders, board members, teachers, department leaders, all leaders need to be trained. In the Last Days newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill tells about a group of tourists visiting a scenic village who walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked, "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies." A shallow question brought a profound answer. See, there's no instant leaders. Whether in this world or in the kingdom of God, growth takes time. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 3:6, do not appoint a novice. And then also in 1 Timothy 5:22, which I often had a hard time understanding the interpretation and the meaning of, it says, lay hands on nobody quickly. And what that literally means, laying on the hands, means putting someone into leadership without let they have been proven or mentored. Lay hands on nobody quickly. It talks about putting them into ministry. Oliver's, when he got ordained, all the presbyters, they came around and they laid hands on those that were being ordained. What is that? We are laying hands on you for the ministry. When we interview candidates for credentialing and licensings, when we get done, we have them stand in the circle and we lay hands on them. What are we doing? For the ministry. And this is what Paul is talking about. When we talk about leaders are mentored. True leaders of the church are mentored. Next thing we find, church leaders have proven character. When it comes to church leaders, they have proven character. It says, but you know, in verse 22, it says, but you know his proven character. Can I tell you, character preceded appointment. Let me say that again. Character preceded appointment. Paul called for this church because they had been, remember, Timothy had been with him. He'd been in that church. He had seen, or Timothy had knew the ministry of Paul. Paul called for the church to think about Timothy's character when considering him a leader. You know, one of the things I've always struggled with, way back, I mean, 30 years ago, I'm thinking when it comes to the board, when we were so much on divorce that if you had a divorce, you couldn't be on the board, but yet you can be doing all kinds of other things, and the only reason you're getting on the board is because you're not divorced. Come on, I struggled with that. I struggled with that so much because we had a guy in the church. I wasn't a pastor then, but we had a guy in the church that was really filled with the Holy Ghost. God had changed his life. All that was before Jesus. I mean, BC is a good thing, and it's all that. But he could not be on the board because he had had a previous marriage before he got saved. So I called. I was struggling with this so much that I called T.J. Taylor. I'd only call him every now and then, so I'm sure he was glad to hear from me. And I talked to him, and he was a seasoned pastor. And he says, you know what, Brother Billy, what we've done at our church, we consider the case, and we just go ahead and do what we need to do. Because I'd much rather have a man that had had a previous marriage than one that's out there smoking or whatever they're doing that is not qualified for the board. And they put people on the board that weren't even baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying today that, you know, character is something that needs to be considered. Paul says, look at Timothy and look at the character. You know, if you're around somebody long enough, you're going to know them. Amen? Some people can only put on the act for so long. And then you finally start to see who they are. Character is a main thing when it comes to church leadership. I'm not saying you're perfect. Come on, there's not a perfect one around. This is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about perfection, because if you're perfect and if you're going to be perfect, you're going to be gone. We all have our emotional moments, amen? Until we're raptured, until we're raptured away, we'll have those emotional moments. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a solid character, something that comes through time in and time again. It speaks of who you are. And so Timothy had this. He said, look how he acted among you. Look at the things he did. He's proven to be steadfast and stable. He's proven himself among God's people. That's character. And so many times we put people in positions that have not proven themselves, or they have been put in positions and they prove themselves to be wrong. Folks, I'm just talking about a passage of Scripture this morning. See, oftentimes people are put into leadership position only to find out later that their character does not match the position. What are some characteristics of church leaders? The Bible gives us an example in 1 Timothy, and we're going to be voting at the end of this month for a board member. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, I'll get it right, able to teach. That's what happens when you read the New King James. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, but not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Come on. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church? The position of bishop is almost like pastor is what we're talking about. But the fact is, these are things that are mentioned about who this person should be. Whereat, we find it in the Word of God. So what is God saying in those qualifications? You go on down in that passage of Scripture, talks about deacons. Who? Deacon board members. Deacons are servants, but their life are to line up with what the Bible says also. So what we find here, God is saying for leadership in the church, there must be some things that are about his character that says he's able to fulfill the position. And again, it's not perfection. But God, I'm just trying to say this morning what we're seeing and what Paul was saying, let his character speak for himself. But let the character be what it would require for him to be a leader in the church. Leadership. AI says, when I Googled this, some character traits of a Christian leader. Integrity. A Christian leader is truthful and honest and upholds righteousness. Humility, a Christian leader is modest and respectful of others. Faith, a Christian leader has a strong belief in God and follows God's will. Compassion, a Christian leader shows empathy and cares for others. Courage, a Christian leader has the fortitude to stand firm in their convictions. Perseverance, a Christian leader has the resilience to continue their mission despite challenges. Servant leadership, a Christian leader places the needs of others above their own. Visionary, can I say you cannot lead, you cannot be a leader without having some little bit of vision. In whatever you're leading, you got to have a vision for that leadership. You've got to have something that God's speaking to you about who you're leading and what you're leading. Visionary, a Christian leader can communicate a vision for the community in an inspirational way. Other qualities, trustworthiness, biblical knowledge, social aptitude. A Christian leader has the ability to influence in moral decisions. And let me say, there's some other things about leaders. Dependency, or being dependent. Punctual. There's a lot of things when it comes to Christian leadership that are those characteristics that should be part of that life. Paul is speaking of it. He looked at the church. He wrote the letter to the church at Philippi. He says, listen, I'm sending Timothy, who I have mentored. You know he's been beside me. I have taught him ministry. I am sending him because of his character. You know his character. You've been around him. You've watched him when nobody else was watching. Have you ever thought about when you're around people that know you're a Christian and they're not Christian, they're watching you? They're saying, okay, let's see what she does here. Or let's see what he does there. Paul's telling that church, hey, I'm sending somebody that you know has a proven character for leadership. Leaders are mentored, and leaders have the character to be in the position that they're going to be appointed to. Third thing, we're going to get out early. Church leaders are unified in purpose. Church leaders are unified in purpose. For I have no one like-minded. Listen to what Paul's saying. He's talking about who? This leader that he's sending named Timothy. He says, I have no one like-minded such as this young man that I'm sending you. He says, basically, later he says, if you got Timothy, you got me. He's saying that he is like-minded. He understands. They're unified. You know, unity among leaders is a must, especially in the local church. Unity among leaders is a must, especially in the local church. Paul says no one like-minded by saying that he is saying Timothy and him are on the same page. He didn't say, hey, they're exactly alike. He said they're on the same page. When it comes to leadership in the local church, the leadership needs to be on the same page. This does not mean Timothy and does not express his thoughts as a young person. Listen, have you ever had thoughts of a young person versus an old person? Sometimes they think a little different. I love the board. We have different age groups on the board. But the fact is, because they come from a young perspective, they're still dreaming. And the older ones, I've been there, done that. We just want to keep it like it is. Come on, that's reality, right? What do you mean I need to change the color in my house? I like it just like that. But that's the truth of it. Paul isn't saying that. He's not saying they're just alike. He's saying that he has the same like mind as Paul would have when it come to ministry. They're on agreement. It doesn't say that you don't get to see the whole story where Timothy sat over here and Paul and they had this conversation. Now, Paul, that's kind of old school. Well, Paul said it worked back then. And you know, they had conversations, I'll guarantee you, about what was happening. And in that conversation, it wasn't like they got bitter and parted, but in that conversation, they came to be like-minded toward the goal that they needed to do in the church. Come on. Leadership, one thing about leaders is that they have vision, and the thing about it is getting all leaders together to where we get a game plan and get on the same game plan. Unity. See, it means that they are in agreement in vision, purpose, and fulfillment. They have an agreement. Paul literally was saying, if you have Timothy, you have me. Can that work? Yes, it can. I know that when I leave, this guy right over here, he's going to do it like we've been doing it. Have y'all noticed that about Oliver? He's a good young man. Well, he's not as young as he was when he first came. He was in his 20s, now he's in his mid-40s. But the thing about it, I don't worry about it when I leave. The thing about what Paul was saying is that very thing. Yeah, is Timothy going to preach a little different? Yeah. Is he going to do this a little different than Paul would have? But it's going to be the same content in what they're saying. One may be a little more zealous about it, and the other one may not. But it was saying that they were in agreement. Paul says, if you have Timothy, you have me. Wow, what a concept. Jesus said this. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Wow, what does he say? Does the Father look like Jesus' human body? No, he's saying this. You have seen exactly how the Father would do things. There's this concept of unity. I'm going to tell you, if the devil wants to destroy something, let him bring division in the leadership in the church. So it's leadership that has a responsibility to work in unity. Is it possible to have all the leaders on the same page? Numbers 11, verses 16 through 17 gives us hope in that. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of the Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of the meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and listen to what he says, I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put it the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. How many know at that moment it was just Moses? And now it's going to be 70 with the same spirit, with the same concept, the same unity. God can do it. God can do it. He's able to make it all on the same page. Is it necessary to have all the leaders on the same page? Yes, it is. It's called unity. The Bible says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Psalms 133, I love this Psalms. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commandeth the blessing, life forevermore. Unity. Unity is a powerful thing. Now, in contrast to unity is the self-seeker. Contrast to unity. Listen to what he says in verse 21. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ or Christ Jesus. The contrast to what Paul spoke of in verse 20 now is in verse 21. He says, I've got one that's like-minded, but others seek their own. He's not saying everybody besides Timothy. That's not what he's saying. But he's giving out the fact that there's some that would come to that church that would be seeking nothing but their own benefit. Their own things. He's comparing them to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I know will do it right. Timothy will be like me there, but there's others, if they come, they will be seeking their own glory. They have ambitions for themselves. In Paul's experience, now where's Paul come up with that such a statement? In Paul's experience, he had to deal with many that sought leadership positions for their own good. Read the epistles that he wrote. Read what was happening in 1 Corinthians. Read what was happening in the Corinth church and the other churches. He called them wolves. He called them false teachers and et cetera. He says there's those that will come in among you. And what he's saying is there's those that are going to come in and everything they're doing is for themselves. They're not for the mind of Christ, not like Timothy would be. He said they're going to come in. He says, I'm sending you Timothy because I could trust Timothy. But there's others that will come in that will destroy the body. What is this? This is contrasting unity versus someone on their own. Is literally what Paul's saying. Having somebody on the church doing their own thing in leadership. At one point he said they even gather to themselves. Let me give you an example of what Paul was more or less saying in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. Now Absalom would rise early, up early and stand beside the way of the gate. So it was whenever anyone had a lawsuit, came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. What was happening? People were going to go see King David. David's son Absalom would grab them and says, hey, I can take care of your problem if you read the passage. I can do this and that for you. What was he doing? He was leading on his own. This is what Paul's talking about in that verse. He was leading on his own what? For his own selfish desires to follow, get people to lead him. You find later in that passage of Scripture, in this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. Who came to his dad. He intercepted them. And listen to what he says. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. How did he do that? By not being in unity with the king. He stole the heart. And we know the story later on. He got up a group of men and went after his dad in the castle. Listen, what Paul's saying, I can send Timothy. I know he'll do that. But there'll be others that will come. If they come in there, they're not coming for your good. They're coming for their good. So it's a contrast between unity. Can I tell you this morning, self-appointed leaders are dangerous in the church. Self-appointed leaders are dangerous in the church. Many times you can recognize them by the way they talk and act, and when it comes to the chosen leadership in the church, you can watch and see what they're doing when it comes to the chosen leadership in the church or the appointed leadership. Many times they will pick out people in the church to pastor even though they are not the pastor. Sometimes they are heard bad-mouthing the leadership of the church. I can tell you of a friend of mine that pastored in a church 15-something years, had a man come into his church, and he started a little Bible study. And my pastor, the friend, he noticed some things that were not quite right. He says, something's wrong here. He's doing this. He's having meetings outside the church body and all this. And things are not what they need to be. He took it to their board, his board. He said, oh, pastor, you're just seeing things. You're just jealous because this guy's having some Bible studies and some of the people of the church are going out there and being with them. And my pastor friend said, no, I'm telling you, something's wrong. He's a wolf. And they wouldn't listen to him. And it wasn't just a few months later that that man split that church and took out of that church congregation people that used to be loyal to that pastor in that church body. And later on, a few months down the road, they found out that he was starting to have an affair with one of them. And then before long, I'm just saying today, sometimes you got to understand, and there's somebody in the church that's independently doing their own studies and independently doing these things without the blessing of the leadership of the church, there's a possibility that something's not going to go right. Because what Paul says in this passage of Scripture is that Timothy is in unity with me. He's one mind. In contrast are those that go on their own. Long rangers. Listen, when this happens, the church struggles. It truly does. And it has problems. See, leadership needs to be in unity. It needs to be in unity. So Paul expresses this in these three things. Leaderships are mentored. You're mentored for that. Leaders in the church have the right character. And also we find that leaders in the church need to be unified. What is that? That is a formula to have a powerful church. It's a formula to have a church that's thriving, a church that's on fire for God. What do we learn from this passage? We learn that leadership is important. D.L. Moody said it better he said it's better to train 10 people than to do the work of 10 people. Amen? Man, I believe it. But then he says, but it's harder. Now listen to what he says. It's better to train 10 people than do the work of 10 people, but it's harder to train the 10 people. You know, sometimes it's easier to do everything because it absolutely gets done your way. And another thing, it's easy to micromanage everything to make sure it is done your way. But it's better to train leaders that you know have your heart. They may have a little different perspective on things, but things get done. That's what Paul was saying about Timothy. He says, if you get Timothy, you got me. Doesn't mean he's going to be exactly like Paul, but it means that the main things are going to be done. I learned that a long time ago in managing and different things that, you know, I had a certain way at the parts business, everything's the most important. One of the most important things for the heartbeat is inventory, because you're selling inventory, you're replacing inventory, making sure what's shipped is right, checking in the parts and stuff. I was picky on that. And I had my system because it was the best system in the world of how to do it. I had to get over myself and give some people some leeway to do it a different way, as long as they could get the same results. I mean, sometimes our brain don't all think the same. We look at things different perspective. But if you could get them checked in and make sure all the parts are there, that was fine. Did I have to bite my tongue? Yes, I did. Did I want to check in parts every morning? No, I didn't. But I know how critical that is. And it's the same thing with leadership. If leaders are all on that same page, it's not necessarily that everybody has to be micromanaged. It just means that I know, and we know, the right thing's going to be done. Amen? You know, if we didn't have different personalities, it would be very boring. I preach different than Oliver preaches, and I preach different than Gunner's been preaching. But you know what it all comes down to? We all preached. Amen? We all feel a call of God on our lives. Derek did a great job at the devotion at men's ministry. He's got a different style than I have. I liked it. I'm just saying today, it's not about the differences. It's about the unity part. And Paul was saying in this passage, leaders need to be together. Leaders need to have character. Leaders need to be trained. And like I said earlier, it's an injustice not to train people. My friend, we need to do more of that here, just so that we can all be right here together.